Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tamio.
And it's a Wednesday morning. It's October 24th. Hope you're having a good Wednesday so far, moving quickly through this amazing month. Very, very busy time. Joan Lewis is going to be joining us from Rome with the latest on the Synod of Bishops and the new evangelization and all that's going on with the Holy Father naming new cardinals today. We'll also have a story about that in our news. But first, before we get to Joan, right after the break, we're going to be checking in with someone you know and love so much right here from our own EWTN family. Very proud to say she's going to be coming to Michigan, so we'll mention the fact that she will be speaking at Catholic Women's Conference that is put on by our good friends at Holy Family Radio in Grand Rapids. We'll give you all the details. So all of you folks in the Chicago area, in western Michigan, in Michigan, period, if you can get over to the location, we'll give you all the details for the first annual Catholic Women's Conference, which is very, very much organized and co-sponsored by Holy Family Radio. You can find it at holyfamilyradio.net, but we'll give you the details and find out what Jeanette will be speaking about. And then, most importantly, though, I do want to bring Jeanette on to just kind of give us her sense of how women are doing in handling all these attacks on the culture, and if the truth, if she thinks the truth about God's divine plan for all of us, especially as women of Christ and women of grace, if that is coming through, good Lord willing. So, Jeanette, I'm sure we'll have a lot to say. And then, as I said, Joan, very, very busy, and we're actually going to be catching up with her on her cell phone. Normally, we do speak with her in her apartment in Rome, which is her home office, as you well know. But she had to run over to the Vatican, and she said, call me on my cell. I'm doing this interview, that interview. Very busy. So we greatly appreciate her taking the time out from her indeed jam-packed schedule for some of the most important events that are going on right now with our church and the Holy See to chat with us about these latest developments. So Joan will be joining us as normally scheduled via cell phone from the Vatican at 39 minutes past the hour. Just want to remind you that we have been giving you a number of different resources to check out. This morning in my local hour of Catholic Connection, I did read a very powerful column. Another one. This one from His Eminence Cardinal George, the Archbishop of Chicago. Really good stuff. He's talking about being on the wrong side of history, and he's looking at history repeating itself. You can find it by simply going to this website. And also, I was chatting with some listeners who are asking me for all these different letters that we've been quoting. I don't think I'm going to have time to read the Cardinal's column, but what I'm trying to do this week leading up to the election is give you a lot of these different sources from the teachers of the Catholic Church, which will help you form your conscience properly. And also, they're great resources to pass along. So I'm going to talk to my my tech people, and then I know Andrew's been doing a great job, as he always does, of making sure that all the information that we have, that we cover with our guests and with the topics, is posted at the AveMariaRadio.net archive section of our website, and it usually gets up toward the middle or the end of the day. But this latest column from His Eminence, Francis Cardinal George, is entitled The Wrong Side of History, and you can find it at CatholicNewWorld.com. CatholicNewWorld.com, and then you just go to that website, which is their newspaper for the Archdiocese of Chicago, and you'll see the Cardinal's picture, and you click on that, and it'll give you the latest column. Very easy to find, but terrific column. And just he's referencing the comment he made a few years ago about he was going to die in bed, his successor was going to die in prison, and his successor was going to die a martyr. And interestingly enough, he explains the origin of that quote and what he also said. Now, there was a portion of that one quote that I just read you or spoke to you of. He said there was something else that he said after that, which is even more compelling, about what's going to happen in terms of the society and the way we're going if we continue on this path of destruction. He's talking about pushing God out. He's talking about secularism. He's saying this election is huge. Absolutely. It is one of the most important elections, of course, as we know, as Al Cresta has been talking about, of our lifetime. The Cardinal says, in addition to the importance of this election, is this push around the world, and he gives specific examples, this push around the world for secularism. Maybe what I can do is when Jeanette joins us, I can make some, give some quotes of this very fine column that His Eminence just posted. I was also just, I didn't have a chance to read it, but I did get a really neat email from one of our listeners in Kansas who told me about another link. And this is the thing I want to encourage you with. Sometimes we get overwhelmed and we say, oh, Father so-and-so isn't doing this, Pastor so-and-so isn't doing this, we didn't hear about this. But there really is a lot of great teaching going on. And so I just want to encourage you to make the most of these resources that we have and to really do the best you can to see what these great teachers of ours of the Catholic faith are saying and writing and making available to us in terms of understanding the truths of our faith and what we are responsible for when we enter into that voting booth, especially with an election being so important to us. And this is from Terry. And he says that it's one of the best columns he's read in our responsibility as Catholics in voting. He said it's from the Catholic Advance from the Diocese of Wichita. So I'm going to check that out, and then that'll be another resource for you as well. So if you have, let's say, a priest who's done a really good article in your bulletin, if you know of your bishop who's done some writing, send it to me, and I'm thinking of trying to maybe just put a whole list of stuff. Maybe I can just give it to Nick Tom and he can put it on stophhs.com, and then we can also post it on my website and then the Ave Maria Radio website. All right? All right. Right now it is just about 6 minutes past the hour. It's a Wednesday morning edition of Catholic Connection on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. It is now time, though, on a Wednesday to check your news. After the news, we'll speak with Jeanette Bankovic and then, of course, our very own Joan Lewis, live from Rome. Pope Benedict eyeing the future of the Roman Catholic Church, naming six new cardinals from around the world today to join the elite group. Now the six hail from the U.S., India, Nigeria, Lebanon, Colombia, and the Philippines. The American is Archbishop James Michael Harvey, who runs the pontifical household. In his weekly general audience, the Holy Father announcing that the consistory will be held on November 24th. The Vatican Secretary of State telling the Synod of the New Evangelization the planned peace mission to Syria will still happen, but has now been postponed. That's due, of course, to violent flare-ups in Syria. Yesterday, Cardinal Bertone stating that given the gravity of the situation, the visit will be postponed, most likely until after the conclusion of the Synod, and the composition of the delegation will be modified, he said, and will be also due to other commitments on the part of its members. Now, Cardinal Bertone originally announced that the papal delegation would be going, and he announced this on October 16th, and he said that they would actually be going before the wrap-up of the conclusion of the Synod on October 28th. Now, the most recent outbreak of violence happening October 21st, and that's when a car bomb killed 13 persons in the district of Damascus, mainly inhabited, an area mainly inhabited by Christians. Interesting story out of Louisiana State University. That school receiving a wave of negative media attention for digitally removing images of the cross worn by students at a football game. CampusReform.org says LSU administrators issuing a formal apology for circulating the doctored photo. The school admitting to altering the picture in an attempt to, quote, keep from offending students. An LSU administrator says in a Facebook post, we erred in our judgment and we have communicated our apologies to the group of young men represented in the photo whose school spirit is second to none. And some interesting news out of Washington State. Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates and his wife are donating $500,000 to the campaign seeking to have Washington's same-sex marriage law upheld. Records now filed with the Public Disclosure Commission showing the $500,000 brings the total raised by the campaign to just below $11 million. The commission says Preserve Marriage Washington. The campaign fighting the same-sex marriage law has raised less than $2 million. Washington voters in that state will decide on November 6th whether to uphold or reject the legalization of so-called same-sex marriage, a law passed by the state legislature earlier this year. Less than 2 weeks before Election Day, President Obama is off on a two-day campaign swing through six battleground states. Republican challenger Mitt Romney campaigning in Reno, Nevada today and Iowa this evening. Campaigning in Florida yesterday, Obama warned that Romney would promote wrong and reckless foreign policies. At a rally in Nevada, Romney accusing the Obama campaign of offering more attacks than solutions. In Iowa will be a big factor in the presidential election on November 6th. So says the governor there, Governor Branstad, who tempered it with saying that the state, though, only has six electoral votes.
I don't know that we can say for sure, as Iowa goes, so goes the nation, but obviously both sides know how important this is. The president's going to be here Wednesday, and Governor Romney's going to be here Wednesday.
The governor said at his weekly press conference he thinks the election in the state will be close. He also said the undecided voters have started to tune into what's going on and said President Obama might be in trouble in Iowa and other key battleground states. Meanwhile, some interesting reaction to the debate coming from women in that swing state of Iowa. Des Moines Register political editor Kathy Obradovich says she's hearing from women voters in Iowa who didn't like how aggressive the president was in the final debate.
Women didn't necessarily all like the sort of hot aggression that President Obama came with. And Mitt Romney has been trying to close the gender gap that the president has enjoyed in the polls.
In other news this morning, at least 9 people are now dead in the attacks in Baghdad ahead of a Muslim holiday. Ali Barrett brings us up to date on that situation overseas.
The deadliest attack took place in the northwestern Shula neighborhood, where 4 parked cars detonated simultaneously, killing 7 people and wounding 16. 2 mortar rounds landed in Baghdad's northern Chikok district, killing 2 and injuring 10 more. Coordinated bombings and attacks on Shiite neighborhoods are a favorite tactic of Sunni insurgents, such as local Al-Qaeda offshoot the Islamic State of Iraq, in a string of shootings targeting government officials in what was Iraq's deadliest day this month. Ollie Barrett, Erbil.
Tropical storm watch is being issued for southeast Florida and the Upper Keys due to the advance of Tropical Storm Sandy on Jamaica. Tropical storm conditions are possible along the southeast Florida coast, the Upper Keys, and Florida Bay by Friday morning. And meteorologist Rob Carolyn says currently Sandy has maximum sustained winds of 70 miles an hour, and the storm will become a hurricane by the time it reaches Jamaica and Cuba.
Looks like on its path it could produce anywhere from 10 to 15 inches of rain. Heaviest rains will fall over the mountainous areas of Jamaica, and there could be some landslides and also some severe flash flooding.
The storm is about 120 miles south of Kingston, Jamaica. It is moving north at 10 miles an hour and is expected to move across Jamaica by late this afternoon and evening and then move near eastern Cuba later tonight. Queen of Soul set to sing the national anthem before Game 5 of the World Series at Comerica Park in Motown coming up on Monday. Now, the last time Aretha Franklin helped to kick off a postseason game, the Tigers pulled off a stunning comeback win. That was back in 2011 before Game 3 of the American League playoffs. Now, tonight's Game 1 of the World Series has the Detroit Tigers in San Francisco to play the Giants. Just about 13 minutes past the hour, it is a Wednesday morning edition of Catholic Connection on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Speaking of EWTN, it's an honor and a privilege to able to speak with my sister, Jeanette Bankovic, also from EWTN. She's coming up right after the break, 877-573-7825. We'll be right back.
It took him nearly a year to create each one-of-a-kind masterpiece. He would personally present each treasure to the Russian Tsar. But then came the Russian Revolution in 1918, and this whole magical world came to an end. Discover the story behind the House of Fabergé, the luxury brand of renowned jeweler and artist Carl Fabergé. Fabergé, the rise and fall. From the collection of the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts, now through January 21st at the Detroit Institute of Arts. For tickets, visit DIA.org.
Steve Ray and Father Bob Rovenbuck on Ave Maria Radio's Pilgrimage to the Holy Land.
Father Bob, you and I have traveled to the Holy Land together before. You're a great guest along the way and a great spiritual director. Can't wait to do it again.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to it. The last trip was one of the highlights of my life, and certainly my priestly ministry to be in the Holy Land with you and Janet was really an incredible place.
Rome is great. All these other great places are sacred sites, but the nice thing about Israel is this holy ground. That's where God himself walked.
Yeah, the Lord Jesus walked in those steps at the Sea of Galilee. I mean, he stood on the sea that we'll sail on, you know, and it's really amazing. And when you go to the Holy Land, it comes alive in a way that it doesn't just reading it or even hearing it at Mass. I learned more about the Holy Land and about the Scriptures in those days we were together than I did in the years I was in seminary.
Ave Maria Radio's Pilgrimage to the Holy Land with Stephen Janet Ray will be January the 28th through February the 6th. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to learn more and stay tuned to hear more stories from Steve and Father Rogenbach.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
She really doesn't need an introduction for the EW10 listening audience. She's a beautiful sister in the Lord, but I will say she is one heck of a teacher and a preacher and a talk show host and, of course, Women of Grace Ministries. Her website is JeanetteBankovic.com for more details. She's the founder and president of Living His Life Abundantly and Women of Grace Catholic Media Ministries. I was telling her that during the break I pulled up the flyer for the beautiful women's conference she's doing on Saturday, November 3rd. And I love that picture of you. You always look so pretty, but this is a stunning picture of you, my friend.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be with you today, Teresa, and with all of your listening audience. It's always a joy to be with you. And you are right. We are sisters in the Lord, and God has us engaged in wonderful opportunities to spread His message of life and His message of hope, and you do it so beautifully.
The title for the conference, and by the way, for our listeners in the Midwest, if you want to head up to Grand Rapids, which is a lovely, lovely town, just go to HolyFamilyRadio.net and go to the events section or just /2012 Women's Conference, Strong Faith, Beautiful Women, a conference on authentic femininity. Did you come up with that title? That's beautiful.
No, I can't take any credit for that. The good women in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and the radio station there, 1140 AM, came up with that particular theme. And I think it is beautiful because the woman who is authentically feminine is beautiful because she's radiating the way in which God's created her. And the way in which He's created her is just glorious. It's a reflection of His image and likeness. Of course, we see that so beautifully demonstrated and so beautifully, beautifully given to us through our Blessed Lady. Mm-hmm. So beautiful women really image our mother in some very special attribute or some special way particular to that individual person.
There's an awful lot that you could cover with a title like this. I think it really lends itself to so many of your different teachings. But what's on your heart as you head to the conference on November 3rd, Jeanette?
Well, I think that what's on my heart, and, you know, I really do encourage women to get out to www.womenofgrace.com. That's www.womenofgrace.com. We've got all of the information there for them, and they can actually register right there on our website. All they need to do is to go to the events. It's right there on the front page, and click on that, and it'll take them to a landing page, and they can register right there. You know, it's a wonderful reality, the gift of our authentic femininity. And what's in my heart as I head off to Grand Rapids, Michigan, is the beauty that is ours by virtue of the gift of our femininity. And in a day and time, Teresa, you know, where we have the world tries to define for us what beauty is, it's important for us to what all beauty is meant to be. And all beauty is a participation in the life of God Himself. I mean, beauty derives from God. And so as we take a look at our gift of femininity, as our role as women in the world today, how is it that God desires for us to enter into an ever-deepening relationship with Him that we might then be an icon of His presence in the world today? I think of Pope Benedict XVI. He said that the most pressing priority that we have, the overriding priority, were his words, that we have in the world today is to make the face of God present. How is it that we as women are called to do that? And we'll be exploring that, and I'm hoping that each woman will walk out of there excited about the fact that they are the daughters of the Most High God and seeing themselves as beautifully as God sees them, seeing that inner beauty that He has bestowed upon each and every one of them and walking in that reality. Yippee, will that be great.
How do you think are we doing, and when I say we and I use that pronoun, I'm talking about we as a church, how do you think we're doing in getting the message out to women of who they are in Christ and their true dignity?
This is what I think. I think that there's a lot of us, yourself included, working hard to make that reality known in the world. And I think that we as church, you know, and of course the church is comprised of the members of the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, I think that many of us are working tirelessly to get that message out because we know something. And that which we know is that the civilization rises to the stature of its women. That's what Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen tells us. And so I think that women are God's secret weapon for the 21st century. We're going to be talking about that, too, when we're up in Grand Rapids. And I think that he wants to use us in a very, very interesting way. Holy Mother Church, for her part, in terms of the institutional church, has given us everything that we need, all of the tools that we need to step into that reality of who we are. And we have this, of course, based on her own tradition, which has always been about a church supporting its women, supporting its daughters, all the way back to our Lord Jesus Christ himself, carried forward. And we have all of the beautiful documents of the church, many of which, of course, given to us by John Paul II. Of course, I'm thinking of Mulieris Dignitatem, his letter to women. But the closing messages of the Second Vatican Council,
yes,
and wonderful writings,
mm-hmm,
by other holy fathers, mm-hmm, like Pope Pius XII, that give us excellent direction and help for us to see who we are. So I think that the church has given us the tools that we need. And women today, after having been enchanted, if you will, bewitched by the message of the world, are coming out of this stupor that it's put her in and are beginning to realize who they are. And we, women of grace, we want to be right at the front lines of helping women to experience this reality and to move it forward.
How do you think women, Jeanette, are coming to the understanding of who they are and able to peel that onion away? You know, I always say we have to go through a detox, a cultural detox, in terms of we've been so absorbed and bleached by the culture, as Archbishop Shep Pugh says so eloquently. We really have to peel away all those layers.
Yeah.
How do you think that happens?
Well, and I think that you name one of the ways. That is that we've really got to permit ourselves to go through a serious time of examine of conscience and introspection, always under the light of the Holy Spirit, because if we're not operating underneath his light, and how we do that we'll also talk about at the event. But we have to operate underneath that gift of illumination and really look at where we have compromised with the culture of the day. Where have we been misled? And, I think that our Lord, in his goodness and kindness, in this unprecedented time in which we live, is offering us an unprecedented grace of illumination to be able to see where we have been, if you will, intoxicated by the culture. And then I think we have to do something more, obviously, because seeing where we've been misled and seeing how we've compromised ourselves and how we've bought into the lie is one thing. But the next step is extremely important. And the next step is we've got to let the Lord heal us in those areas. And, you know, Teresa, you and your work, me and my work, and so many of us that work in this particular section of the vineyard see many women who have been scarred by the sins that they've committed against themselves and the sins that have been perpetrated and committed against them because of the intoxication and the bewitching of the culture of the day. And so our Lord wants to enter into all of those wounds, and he wants to begin a process of restoration. And I'm eager to talk with the ladies about that. How is it that we let Jesus enter into all of those areas of our being where we have been scathed by the culture, either through our mm-hmm. culpabilities, through our committing a sin or having a sin committed against us, and letting him begin this process of restoration and renewal. And that, to me, is exciting work, because this God of ours is all about the business of taking the Picasso painting that is sometimes our soul, fragmented, disheveled, in many ways disillusioned, and beginning to knit it back into this beautiful picture that he had in mind for each one of us before the very foundations of the world were placed and into being. And when we begin to allow that to take place, then what we get is the majesty and the glory of the beauty that is ours in him and through him. And we become that prism, if you will, of divine life in the world that can lead others into deep relationship with him.
We're speaking with Jeanette Bankovic. Of course, you recognize her lovely voice, and she is a radio host and, of course, a TV host with EWTN, womenofgrace.com. And she is speaking in Michigan. I wish I was going to be there. I'm going to be in Wisconsin at the Milwaukee Women's Conference that weekend that you're here in Grand Rapids. Otherwise, I'd be there because I'd love to just see you and give you a hug. I didn't have enough time to talk to you at the radio conference. It was so, brief.
Each other twice, I think, and that was about it.
Yeah, it was so busy. You know? But I think one of the things that keep coming to me in prayer as I prepare to speak, as you do, is I keep seeing the image of Jesus at the well with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. If women could dive into that, part of Scripture in John's Gospel and really just meditate upon that, there's so many things that Jesus is trying to tell us. The first thing that I think of is him saying, you know what? You're my daughter and you deserve better.
That's right.
I made you for better.
Yeah. In my book, Experience Grace and Abundance, I lived with that particular scripture passage for some time in that book, talking about the way in which our Lord woos the woman at the well with his love. And he does see better for her. And you're so right, Teresa. He wants to draw her into this union with him whereby she will have living water, you know, sprouting up within her, you know, gushing like the old faithful, the geyser within her. And she will never be thirsty again. And this is what he desires for us. And sometimes, you know, I'm just thinking that there might be women that are listening to us today and saying, well, you know, that's easy for you to say, Teresa Tamio. That's easy for you to say, Janet Bankovic, you know, because you have figured this out, or your life must be perfect, or whatever the case may be. But the great reality is, this is what God desires for every woman. Mm-hmm. And it's really just taking that first step of faith and beginning to trust in him. And that's what the woman at the well had to discover. How would she take that first step of faith? And our Lord wooed her into that. And he wants to lovingly woo each of his daughters into that beautiful reality. And that's what we're going to be doing there in Grand Rapids. And you'll be doing it in Milwaukee. And it's going to be fabulous.
All right, hang on. We're going to come right back. I know there's probably tons of folks that want to say hi. 877-573-7825. And please do yourself a favor and visit womenofgrace.com for so many great resources. You know I'm all about the resources. We'll be right back.
At Franciscan University of Steubenville, our professors challenge their students intellectually, form them professionally, and feed them spiritually. World-class scholars, Franciscan professors hold doctorates from prestigious programs and number 4 Fulbright scholars among them. They publish widely, hold numerous patents, and present at leading academic conferences. Our faculty, one more reason Franciscan University of Steubenville is academically excellent and passionately Catholic. Find out more at franciscan.edu.
What took place between Christ's crucifixion and his resurrection? The Catholic Catechism calls that period the mystery of the tomb. Christ truly died. His human soul and body were separated from one another as his body lay in the tomb. But his divine person retained possession of both. Divine power preserved his body from corruption, though his death on the cross ended his earthly existence. Thus Christ, by the grace of God, actually tasted death for everyone. His stay in the tomb constitutes the real link between the passible state before Easter and his glorious and risen state today. The same person of the living one can say, I died, and behold, I live forevermore. In that one person, the Catechism states, was the meeting point for death and life. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
I sense the moment has come to commit all of the Church's energy to a new evangelization. These words of John Paul the Great resound throughout the world as Pope Benedict opens the year of faith. Alpha for Catholics answers the papal call to the new evangelization with an out-of-the-box solution that is simple, effective, and affordable. Alpha is endorsed by the USCCB as one of the best methods of evangelization and parish outreach. Alpha, answering the call to the new evangelization. Google Alpha for Catholics.
Welcome back. You're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Teresa Tamio, and of course, someone who really needs no introduction, but if you're a new EWTN listener or viewer, go to womenofgrace.com or EWTN.com to find out all about our guest, author, speaker, teacher, and just all-around great gal, Jeanette Bankovic, and very excited that she's coming to my home state of Michigan for the Holy Family Radio Women's Conference, which is co-sponsored by Noto's Italian Fine Italian Dining. That's actually where it's taking place. That's a beautiful location. It's a beautiful facility. You're going to love Joanne and the people there. Wonderful, wonderful Catholic family. They do so much in the community in Grand Rapids, and so you're going to have a great day, and they're going to welcome you with open arms.
Well, I'm eager to be with all of the good women there, and happy to be hosted at Noto's, and looking forward to what God has in mind for us. And you know, as you well know, when people gather in his name, he shows up. And when the day has Our Blessed Lady in it, the Holy Spirit flies there, says St. Louis de Mont, for he hastens to be there. And so I expect abundant blessings for the women. And that's not presumptuous. It's just what the reality of what God does.
Well, it's reality of God. Because we're just the crackpots that he uses. It's all him.
It's the truth. Oh, my goodness. Our Lord has a sense of humor.
He does. I say that all the time. What the heck am I doing here? But I guess he knows what he's doing. But anyway, what else is on your heart in terms of what women are facing right now, Janet, do you think?
Well, you know, I think that we have a big mission in front of us. And I think that, you know, as it tells us in the closing messages of the Second Vatican Council, and I love to watch the expressions on women's faces when I read that.
I love that quote. That
message.
Quote is awesome.
It is, and where he talks about reconcile men with life, and above all, we beseech you, watch carefully over the hand of man, who in a moment of folly might destroy human civilization. Women of the entire universe, you to whom human life is entrusted at this grave moment in history, it is for you to save the peace of the world. And I draw ladies' attentions to that last section. God has given you life at this moment in the history of man to save the peace of the world. We have an important mission as women. And God is equipping us as he has equipped us through our baptism. But he's giving us unprecedented graces now to walk fully into that holy and glorious call and be about the business of doing it. And there's never been a better time for a woman to be woman. Never been a better time. And we have all of the great saints who have preceded us in time, who I know are lending their prayerful support to us, their intercession for us, and who show us the way in which to go. And boy, oh boy, I think we need more St. Joan of Arc, don't you, Teresa?
Yes, absolutely. I also love thinking about the quote, that Vatican II quote, but also if you think about the meaning behind the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world.
Oh, gee, isn't it something?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If women could just get that, if they could understand who they are in their dignity, I think it will, absolutely, we could rule the world, change the world for the better.
I do, too, and I think that we are seeing it happening. I really do. We're watching abortion rates fall. We're watching all kinds of good things beginning to happen. We go out to university campuses now, and even though we know in many cases, you know, the secular message holds true, we're seeing young women who have the courage to stand up and to speak the truth and to walk a different path, and they are attractive. And this is the deal. Truth is always attractive, and that truth is our Lord Jesus Christ. And people are attracted to that, and they will begin to experience that great, great grace of having others follow in the path in which they should go, because they're willing to be the sign of contradiction in their sphere of influence.
Mm. It's interesting because there's so much out there right now that tries to claim that women are all about abortion and contraception. That's all we believe in. There was a really interesting story on EWTNnews.com, actually, that was very positive in the sense that, you know, this is not really how women feel. There's a lot of women who don't follow church teaching, but then there was also that really interesting report that came out, What Catholic Women Think About Faith, Conscience, and Contraception, which showed that even though many women are not following church teaching, if they're practicing their faith, or at least trying to practice their faith, they're open to the church teaching. I think a big problem is they haven't heard about it.
Well, yes, I think that a big problem is that they haven't heard about it, and they don't know that there's another way. The best-kept secret in the church, as some have said, is the whole teaching on natural family planning. I think a lot of women, especially in this day and time, we're very careful and cautious about what we're eating and what is in the environment, would be wanting to know the intrinsic dangers of the birth control pill, that it's a type 1 carcinogen. It's rated as dangerous as cigarette smoking and asbestos. But where is it that we get that information?
Right.
Why haven't women been made to know this? One of the things that I think that women are really, opening themselves to the reality of is the deception of this whole concept of women's health today. That is a deception. What is being touted as women's health today is not healthy for women. It is anti-woman. It is misogynist in its core, and it can cause her death. Not long ago, I spoke with a young doctor who I know, And we were talking about this and the rating of the birth control pill as a type 1 carcinogen. And he lowered his face, and with sadness in his eyes, he said, you know, I just had a young woman in her 20s come into the emergency room last night. And he said she was a victim of a stroke. And he said, and we looked through her medical records, and the only thing that we could come up with is that she had recently begun to take a birth control pill. And now here she was in a comatose state, and the prognosis was not good. Women need to know the truth, because the again, revenues have been placed upon her back, and she's been the beast of burden that's carried revenues through many different industries for far too long at her expense. And we want her to know the truth. And the church has the teaching, and the church is the way, the truth, and the life, because it is the mystical body of Christ on earth.
The World Health Organization declaring the birth control pill a group 1 carcinogen in 2005. Right? I mean,
yes,
this is, yeah,
yes.
it's craziness. And this
and that's 7 years ago, Teresa.
7 years ago, I know.
And who knows that? And, you know, I do want to say that I'm really excited about this fact. Out there at www.womenofgrace.com, we've got a big red button. And that big red button says, Take Action, the Election Initiative. And if people will click on that, we've got a downloadable PDF trifold that you can print out. And it's called the Phony War on Woman is a Crime Against Humanity. And I want every woman to read it, because it talks about the phoniness of this war on woman, and it talks about the phoniness of what's passing off as women's health today. And I want everybody to read it.
Yeah, and you know, you've got such a good journalist working for you, Susan Brinkman, who does a fantastic job. And I'm sure she's working on that with you as well, right?
Yeah, she did the research for us and pulled it together. We certainly had some of that research through the various guests that we interview on Women of Grace, seen on EWTN at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And
shameless plug, but that's okay. Go ahead. We love to do that for our programs on EWTN.
We have to. And, you know, she has done a wonderful job of pulling this trifold together. So we do want people to get out there and get it. And I would love for women to download it, print it, I mean, take it to your...
Rent helicopters, drop it over your area.
Do everything that you possibly can, because for every woman who receives this and reads it, we might be saving a life, their life, but also the life of a child that they may conceive. And we're doing very much to promote the true beauty, the authentic femininity of women in the world today. And that's what we've got to do. And that's what we're going to talk about in Grand Rapids.
All right. Well, you do have the information on the homepage of womenofgrace.com for the women's conference this weekend.
We sure
do. November 3rd, actually, is when it's coming up, right?
Yep, and it's right there on the events, under the events. They can click it and go there and register right online. So we want to see everybody in Grand Rapids, Michigan, November the 3rd, beginning at 8 a.m., lasting until 2:30 at Notto's Old World Italian Dining.
All right. Enjoy and have a great conference. Jeanette, thank you for all you do. Jeanette Bankovic, womenofgrace.com. And, of course, watch her and hear her on EWTN. Another great voice from EWTN. Another great woman, Joan Lewis, coming up live from Rome. Stay tuned.
Steve Ray and Father Bob Rovenbuck on Ave Maria Radio's Pilgrimage to the Holy Land.
Father Bob, you and I have traveled to the Holy Land together before. You're a great guest along the way and a great spiritual director. Can't wait to do it again.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to it. The last trip was one of the highlights of my life, and certainly my priestly ministry to be in the Holy Land with you and Janet was really an incredible thing.
Rome is great. All these other great places are sacred sites, but the nice thing about Israel is this holy ground. That's where God himself walked.
Yeah, the Lord Jesus walked in those steps at the Sea of Galilee. I mean, he stood on the sea that we'll sail on, you know, and it's really amazing. And when you go to the Holy Land, it comes alive in a way that it doesn't just reading it or even hearing it at Mass. I learned more about the Holy Land and about the Scriptures in those days we were together than I did in the years I was in seminary.
Ave Maria Radio's Pilgrimage to the Holy Land with Stephen Janet Ray will be January the 28th through February the 6th. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to learn more and stay tuned to hear more stories from Steve and Father Rogenbach.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com. Your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
I'm the grateful mother of a second grade student at Spiritus Sanctus Academy. I'm thankful because our school is the kind of school that can only be described as a rare treasure. If you want to find a private Catholic K-8 school with a strong academic program centered on Christ and a love for our faith, the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, and our stellar faculty invite you to come and see our beautiful Plymouth or Ann Arbor school. Join us for daily Mass or visit our website at spiritussanctus.org.
Welcome back. Catholic Connection. Thanks so much to Janet Bankovic for speaking with us. Don't forget to follow her on womenofgrace.com and also EWTN Television and Radio. And also, don't forget to follow our very own Joan Lewis all over the place as she covers the Synod and as she's doing so much to give us all the information about the Year of Faith and the new evangelization effort that is going on right now, the 50th anniversary of Vatican II, the anniversary of the Catechism, and on and on and on. And right now she is on a cell phone at the Vatican. Where are you exactly, my dear?
I'm about 100 feet outside of the entrance to the Synod Hall because the Fathers will be coming back, the Synod Fathers, for an afternoon session. And at 4 o'clock, I will be interviewing Archbishop Bernard Longley of Birmingham, England.
Oh.
So I didn't want him to think I wasn't going to be here, so I'm standing within eyesight of where we will meet. But what a day this has been. I already have had back-to-back two interviews with Archbishops Kurtz and Garcia Silva of the United States, at which time, as I was talking to them, the Holy Father was announcing six new cardinals, including an American, Monsignor Archbishop James Harvey. He's been the prefect of the papal household since about 1998, originally from Milwaukee. When he is made a cardinal on November 24th, with the five others, he will take up his position. The Pope named him as the Archpriest of the Basilica of St. Paul's outside the walls.
Mm.
So he will be leaving his position as prefect. As I say, he's been there, you know, almost 15 years. But, you know, Teresa, it's so wonderful. The six new cardinals include, we've just mentioned Harvey, an American, his Beatitude Bashar Arai, Maronite Patriarch of Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
We have a major Archbishop of the Syro-Malankarese in India. We have a bishop from Abuja, Nigeria, one from Colombia, and then also the Archbishop of Manila, the Philippines. And it's interesting, I did the calculations in two ways. by the time of the consistory, there will be two cardinals who will have reached the age of 80, so they can't vote. So if you add the six new cardinals on November 25th, we will be back to the number of cardinal electors that Paul the Sixth established, so that was 120. And then interestingly enough, for America, as of November 25th, the U.S. will have 19 cardinals, 11 of whom, including then Cardinal Harvey, 11 of whom are electors. So they're under 80 and can vote in another conclave. So interesting numbers. And I have to tell you, one of the headlines here in the news, the wire service reports, was Pope names six new cardinals, none of them Italian. So because very large numbers of Italians have been named over the years. I believe they have, now I have to check, about 27. You know, for just one country, that's pretty amazing. So a big event on the horizon. This took place, the Pope made the announcement at the general audience today in St. Peter's Square.
Right.
So I didn't even hear the catechesis, so don't ask me about that.
Okay. Well, the story about the cardinals did hit the secular wires early this morning when he did announce it, so we were able to cover that as well. They had it on the secular wires that I was glad to see. In terms of what else you're covering, you've got a busy, busy day. Your email, I mean, my head was spinning when I was reading everything that you're doing. So tell us what else you're planning on in your busy day today.
So after my third interview of the day, which will be Archbishop Longley of Birmingham, England, I will go home and try and do a very brief blog, especially announcing the new Cardinals, because tonight I am very excited. I have a dinner in the Vatican Museum. I'm a member of the patrons of the Vatican Museum
okay,
in California, and their group is coming, so there will be a reception and then dinner in the Vatican Museum, and I'll take a lot of pictures for that. They do have Mass at 5 in the Church of San Stefano degli Abissini. I'm sure you've seen that in Vatican City. Not too many people do, actually, but I will not be able to make the 5 o'clock Mass unless there's some miracle thing. No, if I have to go home and change. So a lot of interviews under my belt for today, briefly putting up a video about the Pope's announcement. I wish you could be here. Two buses have just pulled up, and they are unloading all of their bishop participants in the synod. So lots of colorful attire walking in the door of the synod hall.
How exciting is it? I mean, you've covered so many events in the church, but how is this different for you as a Catholic journalist covering the Synod of Bishops, covering the 50th anniversary of Vatican II?
You know, I'm actually glad you asked that, because what I've always realized working at the Vatican or covering the Vatican, living in Rome, that I'm right here at the heart of the Universal Church. But what is interesting is to talk to the bishops from so many countries and continents and hear them say they're getting a view of the Universal Church that they hadn't thought about. Oh, can you hear the bell? I'm 100 feet from the one at St. Peter's Basilica. So to hear the bishops say, yes, I get this picture of the Universal Church, and I think so many people in America, perhaps including, you know, some bishops, but so many people in America that think of the church in America, and they don't realize the cultural and the linguistic and all the differences between the church in America and, let's say, in Lebanon, which will have a new cardinal, where you've got the rites of the Eastern Church, and we in America are more used to the Latin rites. So seeing the beauty, the pageantry, the various rites of the church, I do all the time when I'm in Rome. And to have the bishops experience it and say they're just delighted at seeing the Universal Church in action, it's a very rewarding experience.
Well, I can only imagine. All right, let's take a quick break. We're chatting, of course, with the Rome Bureau Chief for EWTN, and she is live actually right at St. Peter's Square right now, talking to her on her cell phone, and very, very busy agenda for Joan today, but taking time out of that busy agenda to talk to us about the latest information from the Synod of Bishops. And, of course, there's so much going on in terms of the new evangelization, the 50th anniversary of Vatican II, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the Year of Faith, and on and on and on. Now, to get even more details, you can check out Joan's radio program as well as her blog. Her blog is Joan's Rome. You can find it all through EWTN.com. We will be right back to wrap up with Joan from Rome. If you have a question, 877-573-7825. Once again, you're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We'll be right back.
The Alexian Brothers, a Catholic religious order of men, look back on 800 years of service.
Our concern was always with feeding the poor, nursing the sick, and burying the dead. There was a time when most of our men were nurses. That's not the case anymore. We have MBAs, mechanics, engineers.
The brothers still serve the poor, the elderly, the sick, and dying.
I knew that as an Alexian brother, I could make a difference in people's lives.
If you're a man generous enough to serve the weakest, call toll-free 1-800-556-0332.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by the St. Gregory Retreat Center, a fully licensed and internationally accredited alternative to traditional drug and alcohol treatment. This model has utilized the latest techniques based on the most current scientific research. More information about the St. Gregory Retreat Center is available at 888-778-5833. That's 888-778-5833.
It took him nearly a year to create each one-of-a-kind masterpiece. He would personally present each treasure to the Russian Tsar. But then came the Russian Revolution in 1918, and this whole magical world came to an end. Discover the story behind the House of Fabergé, the luxury brand of renowned jeweler and artist Carl Fabergé. Fabergé, The Rise and Fall, from the collection of the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts, now through January 21st at the Detroit Institute of Arts. For tickets, visit DIA.org.
Ann Arbor Smiles is a state-of-the-art dental practice led by the talents of doctors Dan Kennedy, Chris Marzoni, and Stephen Gray. One of their many satisfied patients is Father Deacon Lawrence Hendricks.
I was one of the first patients to receive a Cerec crown from Dr. Kennedy. The Cerec technology allows for restorations to be done in one visit. They always use the most advanced techniques in dentistry. I've always enjoyed the friendly staff and the personal relationships that I have at Ann Arbor Smiles.
Go to AnnArborSmiles.com today.
Okay, how many of you want to be Joan Lewis when we grow up? Everybody raise your hand. Joan Lewis, of course, the Rome Bureau Chief from EWTN, covering all the latest and greatest information from the Holy See, and she's actually at the Vatican right now and just preparing to do some more interviews. So what is coming up the rest of this week? And I understand there's some news that came yesterday. It was on the EWTNnews.com site, as well as others, that the papal delegation to Syria has been postponed. Did you hear about that?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And it will take place when, obviously, conditions allow in that country. You don't want to send a high-ranking delegation and put them in harm's way. So, but there was I believe some of the members of the delegation might be different. But what was good about the delegation as named was that it really represented different regions of the earth. The Pope wanted to send a message from the Universal Church to North America, South America, I don't remember all the names right now, and then obviously people from the Vatican. So that will be just been announced at a future date. But it will be interesting, Teresa. I mean, as of today, Lebanese now know, I mean, in that part of the world, that there is going to be a new cardinal. So, and of course, Syria coming into Lebanon, spilling over so much of the violence in northern Lebanon is a big issue. So this all kind of ties together with what's being said at the Synod. The nomination of Rai as cardinal, the delegation going to Syria. So we will hear more about that. But where the Synod Fathers are right now is, this is the final week, the Synod ends Sunday, and the Synod Fathers are meeting in language groups. So I think it's like seven language groups. And then they're putting together, summarizing all the thoughts that have come to them, the input they've heard, so that they can formulate propositions to bring to the Holy Father. And then he will write his final document, his post-synodal apostolic exhortation. And we've got very interesting requests among the things. Archbishop Gustavo of San Antonio asked that the entire church be dedicated in this year of faith and from here on to the Holy Spirit. You have an amazing bishop from Nigeria, Bishop Emmanuel Badejo of Oyo, Nigeria, and I interviewed him for my radio show. And he said some of the most astonishing, noteworthy things. But he talked about young people with whom he works a great deal. And he said, you know, I read in Vatican documents, I hear at the Synod, young people being called the future of the church. He said that's really pejorative. They are the present. They see themselves as the present of the church. And he'd like to see documents talk about young people as the present. They may be the future parents or future priests or future lawyers, but they are the present church. And I love what Bishop Badejo said. He said, you know, people have come up to me and said, there's a lot of bishops that don't seem like happy people. And he said, Joan, how can we proclaim the good news with Good Friday faces? And I just thought that was brilliant.
Now, the rest of the week, the Synod actually ends up, on the 28th?
On Sunday, yes.
Yeah.
The closing mass of the Synod. And then there will be a closing press conference, and at that time, we should have the list of propositions. Hello, how are you? Archbishop Gomez just walking right by.
Oh, tell him we said hi.
Yes. I'm telling you, say hi to you from Teresa Tamio.
Oh, good.
I'm doing her show right now today about the Synod.
Right.
Yes, and we have a new American cardinal.
Yes.
Yes, sir, we do.
Harvey.
Harvey, indeed. Von Lavero. Well, that was nice.
Yeah, Archbishop Gomez, he's wonderful. Yeah.
If you could hear him, and he said hi, and we're excited about the new American cardinal, Harvey. So, just exciting to leaders of the church are walking by me as I speak to you. You know, the men and the women, there's religious, there's lay observers, and they're going to, all of them, help the Holy Father write a document. That, Teresa, is going to affect all of us. We are the new evangelizers.
Mm.
You and I in the work that we do in the media. Obviously, a parish council and all the lay people. But every person listening to us is going to have a role in the new evangelization. It's heady, wonderful stuff.
It's exciting, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's wonderful. Very, very, very exciting. And I'm hearing words, to me, the key words, if I had to list 5, 6, or 7, would be parish, laity, and family, young people, joy, another key word, and beauty. There's been a lot of talk here about the beauty of the gospel, the beauty of liturgical ceremonies, and much to say about the beauty of the entire church. So very, very exciting from that point of view. And thus, the final document will be interesting to see what the Pope chooses to write on, what the Synod Fathers have reflected on. So very, very interesting. And then, of course, we had not only the ongoing synod, you know, 6 days a week of that, and then some, but the canonizations, 80,000 people in St. Peter's Square. Just amazing.
Right.
Beautiful, colorful, Mohawk Indians, all my Hawaiian friends in their shirts and dresses and rays, you know, their St. Damian shirts and dresses and so forth. So,
well, you know, it was great. They did get a lot of coverage, too, the canonization of the new saints. It got a lot of coverage in the secular media here in the United States, which was great to see. We're going to let you go. It's almost wrap-up time anyway. Be safe. We're going to check out your blog for great photos and, of course, your radio program. Don't forget to check out everything through EWTN.com and Joan's Rome. Joan, be safe, and we will talk soon and look forward to having you on, of course, next week to wrap everything up for us. Joan Lewis, the Rome Bureau Chief for EWTN.com, calling us on her cell phone live from Rome, giving us all the details of the Synod of Bishop, which wraps up on the Sunday, October 28th. And don't forget the Catholic View for tonight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, CatholicViewForWomen.com. We'll see you there on the TV and tomorrow on the radio.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection as Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like to introduce you then to Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services can be provided for up to 24 hours per day, and you may even select your caregiver before services begin. More details and franchise information is available at visitingangels.com. And that's visitingangels.com.
Our economists believe conditions are improving and that worthwhile investment opportunities could be plentiful. Now could be a great time to consider the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. These pro-life, pro-family mutual funds have a strong track record. Ask your financial advisor about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds or call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 1-866-283-6274 or visit AveMariaFunds.com to learn more. Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.